G'day, you mob. What's going on? Welcome to this episode of Chats with Pete. I have just made myself a coffee. Give me a sec. Got to have a sip before I forget. Otherwise, I know the coffee is just going to sit here and get cold whilst I am having a yarn with you guys. So, as usual, this week, let me just turn my phone's volume down. I have gotten onto Instagram and I ask you guys to ask me anything. So, I have a bunch of questions here. Let me see if I can load it up that I might go through. I mean, I'm probably not going to be able to do all of them because you guys send me loads of questions and they're amazing and I really appreciate it. But I will try and get through as many as I can. All right. So, here we go. So, this one comes from Hanif. Pete, how do you feel when you receive the same questions again and again every week? It's not the end of the world, mate. You know, I know that people don't see every single one of these episodes that I do, or episodes, every single one of these Q&As that I do. And, you know, a lot of people have the same kinds of problems, right? So, they ask me the same sorts of questions. So, yeah, it's not the end of the world. It's just what happens. This one comes from Giant Hogweed. Do you like skiing? So, I'm going to admit, I have never been skiing. I've been snowboarding quite a bit, at least when I was younger. I think I probably haven't done it for about 15 years or so, to be honest. So, it's sort of like surfing. I went out surfing. I tried to do some surfing more recently, but I barely fit into my wetsuit. And after having gotten older and no longer being as small and thin as I was when I was a kid, the surfboard didn't float very well. So I went out there and caught zero waves because I was not strong enough to paddle on such a small board to get onto the waves. So, that was embarrassing, but probably a good bit of exercise. Anyway, so yeah, skiing-wise, I've never been skiing. It's always kind of freaked me out a bit because of the ability to have your knees shredded. You know, if you fall strangely, the skis are kind of independent of one another and they can twist your legs up. So, that's always freaked me out a bit. I'm sure it wouldn't be that bad, you know. I'm sure most skiers don't have terrible accidents, but snowboarding has always seemed safer to me. And I've always been the kind of person to do things where my feet are stuck together, right? So, like skateboarding, where your feet are planted on the board, surfing, where they're planted on the board, and snowboarding, where they're planted on the board. And I am goofy. So, that is where you have your right foot forward as opposed to regular, where you have your left foot forward when you are skating, surfing, or snowboarding. I am goofy. G-O-O-F-Y. Goofy. All right. So, this one comes from Sousa. What is your favorite country out of the US and the UK? That's a tough one. It depends how you're sort of measuring that, right? So, you know, there are a lot of reasons to like and dislike both countries, the same as there's a lot of reasons to like and dislike Australia or probably any other country out there, right? I've only been to America. I haven't been to the UK yet, although I am genetically from the UK. My ancestry is all from the UK and Western Europe. I'd love to go there one day, but I've never actually been. So, I guess, you know, based on something like TV shows and movies and culture, probably American, just because there's so much more of it. I mean, there's more American TV culture, music, movies, all that sort of stuff than there is any other nation out there. And we just get exposed to so much of it. So, I love that aspect of it. Things that I don't like about America are its religiosity, you know, just how religious they are and how it kind of invades all aspects of life. You're just constantly hearing about Christianity from an outsider's point of view. It's very, very sort of just always talked about, right? The president talks about it, politicians talk about it, it's written on the money, it's all over the place. That's kind of a bit weird as someone from Australia. And then the gun culture as well is pretty foreign for someone like myself. I just do not get how guns are so normalized over there. It just seems really weird. And like, you know, you can get to 18 years old and buy a handgun at a shop, but you can't drink. You know, it's kind of like just very, very strange. So, yeah, I think I would like the UK in terms of those two things, the lack of religion and the lack of guns in the UK. What else? I don't know. The UK is kind of really cool with with all of its different dialects of English, like the different accents, it has a huge number. I think the US does too. The US has quite a few different dialects too, at least more than Australia. But the UK and its history, its deep history, is really interesting and cool because it's obviously much older than both America and Australia in terms of European history. So, yeah, the UK seems more interesting in that respect. I don't know. There's lots of reasons to like and dislike each, I think. So, this one comes from Al Mayansi. How can I speak more English? Why am I always bad in job interviews? Well, that's a tough one to answer. I don't know you personally, so I'm not sure what's going on with job interviews and you. I think the biggest thing there is just prepare as much as you can, right? So, if you've got a job interview coming up, do your research about the position, about the company, about, you know, what you're expected to be able to do there, the kinds of things you're likely to be asked or be required to talk about in the job interview. I think what's it called? Practice prevents piss poor performance, right? The five P's. Practice prevents piss poor performance. So, if you can practice ahead of time, you can do your research, you're probably going to feel a lot more confident when you actually go to the interview, when you sit down and talk about these different things. So, just do as much as you can ahead of time, right? Before you go to the interview, and that will help a great deal. I know my wife had to do that recently. She recently got a job. Just let me get a sip. At a music school in Geelong, and she had gone to a number of different interviews for different jobs, and each time she kind of did her research about the position, she looked at the company, learnt about what it did, its history, its background, the people that work there, and then also how to respond to certain answers, certain questions she was likely to have to give answers to, right? So, you know, what are your greatest weaknesses? How do you think you're going to get along at this company? You know, those sorts of questions. She thought about them. She talked to me about them. She talked to my parents about them. So, she did as much as she could ahead of time to really prepare for those moments, right, in the job interview where she would be asked those kinds of questions. And yeah, fortunately, she did well and she got the job. How can you speak more in English? Well, I mean, obviously, you know, and I'm not scoffing at you like that's a dumb question, but I mean, I'm scoffing because the answer's kind of stupid, right? It's just that you need to speak more. You need to find people to talk to yourself, talk out loud, do listen and repeat exercises. But I think most importantly is just find reasons, places to use English. Find people who share interests with you that you can talk to about those interests. Try and make friends in English. You know, it's all about using it, really. You need to work out how do you add more English to your daily life. So, like at the moment, I speak Portuguese at home. I talk to you guys about this all the time, but I haven't improved a great deal in probably 2 or 3 years because I'm always talking about the same things with my family, with my wife and with my kids. It's always the same crap, right? You know, what do you want for lunch? What are you doing? Do you want to go out? It's not like we sit down and talk about, I don't know, Brazilian feminism or, you know, the evolution of rats, you know, the more obscure topics, different topics. So, I know that if I wanted to improve my speaking skills, I would need to be talking about more topics with different people, with people who have different backgrounds, different interests, different accents, all that sort of thing to try and level up all different aspects of my English, but primarily my speaking. So, yeah, I think that's it. It's just finding more time in your day to be using English, to be reading, to be writing, to be listening. But then, obviously, if you're wanting to improve your speaking the most, find places, people, times that you can speak English more and more and more and more. I have a question here in Portuguese from Madhu. So, Madhu has said, I'm trying to translate in real time. I'm new here. Where are you from? I'm going to Brisbane in September. What do you think of there? What do you think of that place? So, I'm from Melbourne, or at least near Melbourne, right? I'm an hour and a half away from Melbourne in Southeast Australia, so in the state of Victoria. Brisbane's beautiful. I would love to live in Brisbane, to be honest. It seems like it's got a really good climate, really temperate, kind of not too cold, not too hot, right? The Goldilocks zone. You know the story of Goldilocks in the bear's house, and she goes through their porridge. She sleeps in their beds and she goes for the one that's just right, Not too big, not too small, not too hot, not too cold, just right. I think Brisbane along the east coast of Australia is that kind of a city. It's not too hot, it's not too cold, it's just right. So it's kind of halfway up the coast of Australia. The winters are very mild. I think, you know, it'd probably get down to 13 degrees Celsius, I think is the sort of average temperature in winter. Whereas here in Victoria, like today, I think it's about 6 degrees outside. So it's pretty cold. You know, and you can kind of drive in both directions and get to places like Sydney and Bundaberg, you know, within a few hours, right? 4 or 5 hours of driving. So you got lots really close to you. And the beaches are beautiful. The rainforests are around there. You know, nature's beautiful. You got loads of plants and animals and everything like that. So yeah, if you're going to go to Brisbane, I think you're going to have a great time. I think you'll really like it. Alrighty, this one comes from Jack. What's your favourite footy club? So, footy is Australian rules football. Can also be rugby in Australia, but that's what Queenslanders and New South Welshmen use to refer to rugby. I'd say footy is Australian rules footy, right? Football. My favourite team is Essendon. So, the Bombers, black and red. And it's just because my father went for them. So, you go for a team, right? You support the team. You barrack for that team. You go for them. I go for Essendon because my dad always went for Essendon. So, he would take me to games. Essendon would always obviously be one of the teams that was playing in the games. We'd go to somewhere like the MCG, you know, we'd buy a sausage roll or a hot dog, get a drink, get a flag, be wearing your jersey, you know, to support your team and be cheering when they scored and booing when the other team scored. So, yeah, some fond memories there of doing that with my father. And I remember my sister. So, she went for the Bulldogs originally. And the Bulldogs, I believe, was Fitzroy back in the day, back in the 90s and early 2000s. And then it moved, I think it moved or merged with the Brisbane Bears, I think it was at the time. This has been ages. I think the Brisbane Bears were like the Koalas, right? The Brisbane Bears, the Koala Bears. And you had the Fitzroy Lions and they became the Brisbane Lions. So, anyway, my sister went for the Bulldogs. And I remember the story being that she went to a Bulldogs game with my dad. I'm not sure if I was there or not. And I don't even think... I think it was the Bulldogs versus the Kangaroos, North Melbourne, the Kangaroos. Anyway, so my sister goes off to buy a flag. She wants to get a flag for the Bulldog team to support them and wave it around. And she comes back and she's got a kangaroo flag. And my dad was sort of like, oh no, what do I say? How do I tell her she bought the wrong flag? She's gotten the opposite team's flag. And he says to her, I think he talks to her and says, you know, look, you've bought the kangaroo flag. And my sister says, yeah, I like them better. So, she switched teams that day and has gone for North Melbourne, the Kangaroos, ever since. So, funny story there about football teams. And I think, so yeah, my dad and I go for Essendon. My mum goes for, she went for the Adelaide Crows until the team Port Adelaide, and I've forgotten, the Port Power, right? Yeah, so they're like lightning bolts. Until Port Adelaide was made, and then she started barracking for them because I think she lived in Port Adelaide when she was a kid. So she goes for Port Adelaide, my sister goes for North Melbourne, and we go for Essendon. All right. Have you been to Perth? This one comes from Omreem. No, I haven't. I would love to go, but it's so bloody far, right? It's so far away. I would love to go to Perth. It's just, you know, if we were driving, it'd take 5 days to drive there, I think, which would be a really cool road trip. It's just something I haven't gotten around to doing. I guess you could fly there and it would only be a few hours. But again, yeah, I know a few people there, but I don't have family there. I've never been there. I don't think my family's been there. I'm not sure. I have to ask my parents. I'm not sure if they've been there or not, but I just haven't really had any reason to go, though I would love to. I would love to go there one day. It seems like a beautiful place, especially the West Coast. It would be really cool to do a really long road trip up to the Kimberley and then over to Darwin and everything like that. It'd be amazing. Lots of nature, lots of really dramatic landscape, dry and then wet places, you know, all kinds of different environments, lots of animals, lots of wildlife. It'd be incredible. All right, this one comes from Hanan. What's the meaning of bickers and blokes? Okay, so I'm assuming you mean bicker, like to bicker with someone, because I'm not sure if this is meant to be bickies or if you're meaning brickies, right? Bickies would be biscuits. Brickies would be bricklayers, people who work with bricks when constructing buildings. And to bicker, the verb to bicker with someone is to kind of like fight with them verbally, right? So kids bicker amongst themselves. They have a disagreement, they argue, they fight. That is to bicker. And blokes is just the Aussie slang term for a man, right? A man is a bloke. A bloke is a man. So there's a few blokes outside who are brickies, they're eating bickies, and they are bickering. All right. Any tip for understanding the Indian accent? This one comes from Samad. Man, this again is one of those answers that's probably going to sound pretty trivial, but ultimately the answer is more exposure, right? So if you're having trouble understanding the Indian accent in English, the way to learn to understand it better is to get more exposure to it. So following people who are from India on Instagram, on YouTube, and consuming their content, listening to them speak, listening to podcasts with Indians, listening to TV shows, to movies, everything like that with Indians, meeting Indians. You know, if you're in one of the big cities in Australia, there's loads of Indians around. I'm sure you'll interact with them regularly. So it's all about having those interactions and getting to know them and hearing that accent again and again and again when they're talking about different topics. And pretty quickly, with that kind of exposure, you know, probably days, weeks, maybe months, but probably sooner than that, you'll get used to the accent and you'll be able to understand, you know, Indian people when they're speaking English. But yeah, ultimately, it's just exposure. You just have to be exposed to any accent that you're having trouble with. And this happens to me, you know, if I hear an accent that I'm not used to hearing, say it's could be a native speaker or a non-native speaker, right? So, you know, to pick a language out of the hat. If I heard someone from Iceland speaking English, this would be very rare. You don't really meet many people from Iceland, right? Then I might have trouble with their accent, at least initially, because I'm not used to it. If I heard someone from a very small town in the UK somewhere or in Scotland or Ireland speaking with a very regional dialect or accent in English, I might have trouble with that too for a bit and have to sort of, you know, think for a while or get more exposure to it before I can understand them. But yeah, it's all about exposure. Okay, next question. Photo glove. Okay. I'd like to ask about a master's degree in pharmacology. Any idea where to study it? So it depends on where you are in Australia, but maybe where you're going to end up in Australia is related to where you can study this degree. But at least as far as I know, in Melbourne, I think it would be the University of Melbourne and Monash University that would offer pharmacology, right? So to become a pharmacist, you would study at those two universities. Some of the other universities like La Trobe or Deakin or Swinburne, they may offer a master degree in pharmacology too, but I'm pretty sure that Melbourne University and Monash do. And those two universities are the best universities in Victoria for science, at least. You know, they're the most renowned universities, the ones that most people want to go to. So I'd probably look there first. But there's going to be universities all over Australia that offer a pharmacological master's degree. I imagine there'd be one in every single big city. So yeah, I would probably just do a Google search, try and work out what universities offer that degree. Try and work out which of the universities are the highest quality ones, you know, the hardest to get into. That probably means they're high quality. And then maybe even contact some of the people who work there, right? Some of the academics or whatever, and have a chat to them. If you're doing a master's degree, you'll need a supervisor. So trying to find a good supervisor too. You may not necessarily need to go to the best university, but you want to go to a university where you get along with your supervisor and you have a good relationship with them. Otherwise, you know, it can be a bit of a nightmare, even if you're at the best university. So anyway, good luck. Good luck. Okay, next question. Why do Aussies wear flip-flops in winter? So this one comes from Elio. Flip-flops. So flip-flops are thongs. We would say thongs. And why do we wear them in winter? I think it's just laziness, right? And we're not too fazed usually about the cold weather. So we'd put thongs on. I'd probably wear thongs if I didn't have socks on and was walking around my house already and the thongs were right near the door. And I was like, you know, I've got to go to the supermarket. I'm going to go to Woolies. I'm going to go to Coles and I need to buy some bread or some milk or whatever it is. If the thongs are right there, I'm just going to put them on and then go to the shops. You'll probably see people who don't even put thongs on. They just go barefoot at the shops. So that's pretty common too. But it's just part of our culture. I think, you know, for whatever reason, people are very relaxed and chilled out, laid back. And so they don't really worry about wearing, you know, really nice clothes when they go to the supermarket or to the shops. They'll just put thongs on and, you know, it's not a big deal. You might see them wearing Ugg boots as well. These are sheepskin boots, maybe slippers sometimes and a tracksuit. So, yeah, I think it's just because we're pretty chilled out and not fazed. We're not fussed about dressing up, especially if you're just going down to the shops to get some milk. You'll just wear whatever you're wearing at home, get in the car, go down the store and get whatever you need. All right, let me have another sip of this coffee before it gets cold. Alessio, is it difficult to move to Australia? Next year, I will try. No, I don't think it's difficult at all. It's obviously going to depend on how you're planning to get here, right? So, there are many different options. There are many different ways that you can come to Australia. You can migrate here permanently. You can get a job here and, you know, get a sponsored visa. You can study here and get a student visa. You can travel here. You can get a travel visa. So, there are many different ways that you can end up in Australia. Obviously, it's a process if you want to live here permanently and you have to work out, have a clear idea of how you're going to make that happen. So, a big thing would be talking to a migration agent if you're planning to migrate to Australia before you just arrive here on, say, a travel visa. It'd be working out, what's my plan for how I can stay here long term? You know, if you're on a travel visa or a student visa, that's obviously temporary and you need to be working towards getting sponsorship, or if you end up with, you know, an Australian in a relationship with them, you'll have to get on a partner visa. And you kind of have to just have in your head a pathway for how you're going to get Australian citizenship or a visa that allows you to stay here permanently if that's your goal. If you just want to be here temporarily, just for a little bit, that's easy as pie for most people. Obviously, it probably depends on which country you come from. But, you know, if you're coming from different parts of South America, from Europe, from the Middle East, typically it's pretty easy to get something like a travel visa or even a student visa, and you can, you know, stay in Australia for up to even 2 years, I think, you know, especially on a working visa. I'll have to look. It's been a while since I've looked at this sort of stuff, but I remember if you get like a working farm visa, you can kind of stay here for 1 to 2 years, again, depending on where you're from and what your age is, and you can work part-time on different farms around Australia whilst also traveling. So, yeah, there are many different options. I'd say, though, get a plan. Talk to a migration agent, come up with an idea of what you want to do, what you want to achieve, and then hopefully get on that pathway to, you know, achieving whatever it is that you want to do. I've got another one about moving to Australia. So, Melbourne versus Sydney. I'll move to Australia soon but couldn't decide. So, either one of these you're going to be happy with, really, in terms of like quality of life, amenities, everything around you, you know, shops, all that sort of stuff. Either of these cities, these are the two biggest cities in Australia, you're going to be happy with both of them. I'm obviously biased because I grew up around Melbourne and I went to university in Melbourne and was there, living there for 12, 13 years. So, Melbourne's a beautiful place. It's a little colder. Excuse me for a sec. It's a little colder than Sydney, obviously. It's further south. The autumns and winters are a bit chillier. The weather's kind of a bit more temperamental and you'll go from, you know, cold and rainy to sunny and hot and humid in the period of, you know, a few hours sometimes, sometimes within minutes, depending on the time of year in Melbourne. But Melbourne's really nice, very multicultural, very friendly, very safe. It's a good city. Sydney, I've never lived in. I've visited multiple times. I actually got robbed in Sydney. This was during New Year's Eve. So, I had New Year's Eve there when I was probably 19, 20 years old. And obviously, there were a lot of people around. It was a crowd. We were down near the Sydney Harbour Bridge watching the fireworks and we left our bag, turned around, and then it was gone. and lost the keys to the car, lost the camera with all the photos from the holiday that we had been on. So that was a bit of a bummer, but shit happens, right? Shit happens. So yeah, anyway, Sydney's nice. Sydney has a lot to see, right? It's got a lot of beautiful attractions like the Sydney Harbour, the Sydney... Man, I'm having a blank here. What am I trying to say? The bridge. God damn it, Pete. The bridge. Ah, man. Mental fart. All right. So, there's that. There's the Sydney Opera House. There's lots to do there. It's a beautiful place. The weather's a little more warm, a little warmer, a little more humid. And, yeah, it's probably a little more cramped. I remember feeling like the streets were a lot smaller when I was there. Like, there wasn't as much room and it was sort of hard to drive your car around and find a park easily. I felt like Melbourne was a little easier for that. But, you know, obviously, it's going to depend where you are in Sydney. But yeah, I think you can't go wrong with each. It's just going to depend on, you know, what your goals are, why you're moving here, what your job is, are you studying, all of those things, you know. Do you have friends here already? What language do you speak? Are you wanting to be part of a certain ethnic community? You know, is there more of those people? Are there more of those people in Sydney than Melbourne? You know, so there's plenty of things to look into, but I think you'll be happy with either. All right. This one comes from Reza Salehi. So, what is climate change? What is the climate change future in Australia? That's a really good question. I think we sort of don't really know a great deal about what's going to happen, just that the extreme weather events are going to become more frequent and more extreme. So, we're going to end up with more frequent bushfires, more frequent droughts, more frequent floods, more frequent storms. And they're going to be more severe, right? So, you know, this year we've seen, I think, 3 floods on the East Coast, sort of around Sydney and further north, that have been either 1 in 100 year floods or 1 in 1,000 year floods, right? I think Lismore is the town that got smashed the most with 3 floods within a month or two. And they were all, yeah, once in a century or 1 in 1,000 year floods. They were just ridiculous. So, I think you're just going to see more of those sorts of events. You're going to see more bushfires, you know, like the Black Summer that we had in 2019, 2020. You're going to see cyclones more frequently in the north. You're going to see more coral bleaching on the Great Barrier Reef. You're going to see all kinds of ecosystems under a bit more stress because they're going to heat up. So, certain animals that prefer colder temperatures or certain organisms, plants, everything like that, that prefer the cold, might have more trouble because they have nowhere else to go, right? There's nowhere else cooler nearby that they can survive. So, yeah, we just have to see how it goes. Hopefully the world can come together and do something about climate change in the near future. We just need to get that... we need to change over to more renewable energy here in Australia, and the new Labor government seems to be trying to do that. They're at least saying that's what they want to do, get away from coal and gas and everything like that. But it's not just about Australia. The whole world has to do this. So, we've got to come together and work out a way of getting everyone to be able to pull their share. What would you say? So, pull their own weight and do their bit. Anyway, I might do one more question and then finish up for today, guys. Oh, this is a funny one. So, this comes from Hadders. Hadders says, can we say oi cobber instead of mate? So, oi is kind of like, hey, you know, you can say oi to people, but it's a bit more, it's kind of like trying to get their attention very informally. It's not really a greeting. It's kind of like, hey, you know, you're kind of shouting at someone if you say oi. So, you can do it to friends, but I probably wouldn't do it to a stranger unless, you know, they were doing something they shouldn't be doing, right? Like if they were, I don't know, if their dog was pooing on my front lawn and I saw them just standing there doing nothing, I might come out and be like, hey, oi, what are you doing, cobber? Oi. Cobber is just sort of an alternative to mate, typically used by men. I hear it way less frequently than mate though. And so, you'd probably use this if you're a guy and you're friends with other guys. I'd probably use mate. Yeah, I'd be using mate. But if you hear them saying cobber all the time, then, you know, you'd probably end up using cobber just because that's what everyone's doing. So, you can say, oi cobber, what's going on? You can do that sort of thing very informally, usually with other guys. If you were to say that to a woman, I think she'd be like, she'd just be confused. she'd be like, "What are you? Who is this?" You know, like if you walked up to a female friend and you were like, "Yeah, oi cobber," she'd probably think either you were joking around or you were being an asshole. So yeah, I'd avoid using that on women. Probably save it for informal chats with blokes, with mates who are your close friends. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for joining me. This is another episode of Pete's Two Cents. I'll try and do more of these more frequently. Remember, there's no transcripts for these episodes. That allows me to just kind of talk really quickly and upload them very quickly onto the podcast. So that's why there's no transcripts for the Pete's Two Cents episodes. I know a few of you have been asking me, where do I get the transcripts? I'm sorry about that. All the other episodes have transcripts. Over, I think, 1,200 episodes now. I think we're getting close to that. Have transcripts. So if you want to get those, just sign up to the premium podcast. Remember, you can do that at aussieenglish.com.au/podcast. You'll get access to all that, all the bonus episodes, members only content, video lessons, everything like that. So go check it out. And besides that, guys, I hope you have a ripper of a week, and I will see you later. See you, cobber.